Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this week's program, Raising Expectations. It's your show, and it's exciting to see how God raises your expectations each and every day of each and every week. And we never take for granted, we tell you every week, you're a part of our family, wherever state you're in, wherever you are in the world, we're thankful that you're with us tonight, and we count it a blessing. Everybody on our staff, as you know, was a born-again believer. We believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe He came to earth to die on the cross to pay the price for our sins. And we say it quite often this way for two reasons. Number one, people ask, why is that important? Because we live our life on this earth and we can live it trying to figure it out, or we can live it with the answers. And those answers were paid for at Calvary. When Christ paid for our sins, He made us the child of the King, and God walks with us each day. So we're excited to see what He has in store for us. And we get excited to hear what He's doing in your lives each and every week. And that makes us excited to share a guest with you again tonight. Back with us by request is Dr. Sheila Coleman, and she's got some great things to share with her. It was such a thrill to hear about her dad again at the Crystal Cathedral when he was the pastor there, and she pastored and worked with him also with the family. So many great stories of what happened there down in Southern California and all around the world when he was there. So tonight, again, our team is put together. We're missing Ron tonight. Pastor Ron is away, had to be out of town tonight, so he won't be with us. But we do have on the West Coast, we have Dr. Paul Hall down in Lompoc Park, just a little bit north of Santa Barbara. And Dr. Hall, as you know, right there. How you doing, Paul?
Good. Thanks, Joe.
All right. And it's great to see him. He's here. And he's also, you see him looking down sometimes. Yes, he's a prayer warrior, but he also is the scribe for the show. And he writes down the key texts and words that our guests share and putting them together in a special volume that'll come out. Probably going to call it 5 years of Raising Expectations. So we're excited to see how that comes together. And his notes, well, we were in school together, and his notes are outstanding. So you'll enjoy hearing what all of our guests had to say. So Paul's there on the West Coast. He's a retired pastor. He's a professor. He's a teacher. He's a very great man of God and loved by everybody who knows him. Very much loved by us. So Paul, we'll go back to the East Coast, the south side of the East Coast. And right there we find Dr. Craig and Stephanie there. And they live there in Dalton, Georgia. And they're in one of those exciting thunderstorms you find in the southeast. It's real exciting having lived there once. It's really fun. It's a beautiful thing to behold. But they're with us tonight. And Stephanie there on the left is a wonderful, godly woman. She's a businesswoman. She's a health specialist. She is someone who is a great help with on her website. And in fact, I'll invite you to look at our website. That's bbsradio.com/raising expectations. bbsradio.com/raising expectations. And there you'll find our guests tonight. You'll also find all of the people on the staff here, our team, and you can read about them and you can see some of the things we'll share a little later with you. But it'll give you a chance to see who they are and about their life and get in touch with them. Let them know that you enjoy what they share with you. You also find our books. There's my book, Legitimate Faith, Producing Authentic Hope. And you'll find another book that you're going to see by the next gentleman right here. And that's Dr. Tank Thayer. Craig Thayer, technically. Tank, personally. Great man of God, great brother in Christ. And he is a surgeon. He is a surgeon, and he's helped people in so many different states. And of course, on mission work, he and Steph have gone together to the Caribbean. He's helped people in Africa. They've done a lot of things. They are one of those special godly couples that you just get to know them, and they bless your life. They're so much fun to be around. And you know, it's fun to be around people who love the Lord because there's such an assurance and a joy that comes from within. It's great to be able to live your life without all the answers, but with all the joy, and that's what comes right there. And it's good to see you, Tank and Steph. You're looking good there on the south side of the East Coast. Tank is a great man of God. All the work was done by the lady on his right, probably, right, Steph? How am I doing? So that's
Tough
it. So anyway,
it's tough mold clay.
that's it. Put
You're
it back
getting
in.
brownie points, Joe. Yes.
Yes, keep it going. All right. So anyway, so we're all here tonight. Ron is, like I said, he's going to miss Ron tonight. He won't be with us, but we will be back. And so he'll be back next week or the week. I'm going to see you now. I want to share something else with you. In churches, when you're a pastor, when you preach, quite often you ask them to raise their hands. And my phrase at this moment is, "Yes, I see that hand." Because the lady on my right here, which is new for me, this is my wife, and she is so special. And I tell you what, I went all the way back to Texas to get her and bring her here to the West Coast. And so Melba is here, and you can see behind her on the wall, that's a big M to remind me to do this, because when we do the show here, there it is. And even with the M, I forgot, babe. Sorry.
Okay.
That's okay, huh?
I'll let you know.
Yeah, she'll let me know. So Melba is a graduate. We went to the same university, all of us, Paul and myself, and Melba. And Melba is a graduate of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, and specializing in children's work and kids and things that have to do with raising and building teams and families. So she's real excited about tonight because as we move along together, huh, this is going to be really something. We have, as some of you have alluded to, and yes, I misspelled the word divine on one of the things I sent out this week, just to see if you're paying attention. Paul, remember we used to use that excuse a lot, huh? Yeah, they were always paying attention too, because they got to, in any event, sometimes you type faster than you think. But in any event, you're going to find tonight that she's going to share with us. And the thing I love about last week when she was with us, are you not only hear her words and the stories that she shares, but you also feel her heart and the insights come to life because of that. And they touch and change your life as you listen. And the Holy Spirit places them in your life. She's going to share, and she's got some great books. You'll see about those later. The Heart of a Warrior, Delivering the Children of the World for Christ. What about the second
Oh, I
one?
like the second one, the living tree.
The Living Tree was one of Melba's favorites there. And then Claiming the Identity of Christ's Children, a handbook for families. And there's the Living Tree. Sorry, TJ. And then I'm out of line there. The first one was Delivering, and then Unearthing the Lost Treasure. Wisdom. Boy, if there's anything we're missing in the nation today in the world, it's wisdom, not knowledge. A lot of people have knowledge. Wisdom's what you do with the knowledge that you have. And this is going to be an exciting book also. So now, taking any more time, let's move right along down to Southern California. And we want to give the round of applause to Dr. Stephanie Coleman. Stephanie, it's wonderful to have you with us. Sheila, I mean, I'm looking at Stephanie. Yeah, Sheila,
Thank
if you
you.
had to pick somebody to be like Stephanie's really good, but
Oh,
she, whoosh.
I just feel right at home with all you guys. It's
Yeah,
fine.
you call me Fred twice. This has been a long day. Anyway, thanks for being with us. We can't wait to hear your heart again. Yeah, take us away.
Well, last week I began by telling the story of my father when he, who God chose, right? This
Yeah.
little, and I'm going to start tonight the same way. Sometimes in teaching, you need to make the connections, and that's the way I want to do it because it begins with who did God choose? This little boy who lived in a dirt poor farm at the end of a dirt road, dead end dirt road, in an obscure town called Alton, Iowa. And that's all he was. Who in the world he'd be the last person you would think that that God would choose. And that he would raise up into a man who reached tw at the at zenith 20 million people a week on TV. That's when there was
Wow.
only TV internationally, as well as the first religious show service ever. on the state Channel One in Russia under with the help of Mikhail Gorbachev. You know, a pastor to many, most of the presidents that were living at his time, as well as world leaders and other ministry leaders. You know, he was a pastor to pastors as well. And I always took him for granted. But what I wanted to say to the people that, because too often we think, oh, God can't use me that way. God can't do that much with me, you know, because I'm not educated enough, or I'm too old, or I don't have people of influence, I have no platform. All those different things, those limitations we put on God. And yet, and I'll tell you, I felt that way most of my life. I thought, oh, that was for Dad.
No.
That's Dad's story. But, you know, mine is not, you know, God doesn't have, hasn't chosen to use me like he chose to use Dad. And I just think that, and God is showing me that that's not true. It's really, truly not true. He has a special and beautiful, amazing, amazing divine destiny for each and every one of his children. And he has chosen, and I'm going to speak to whoever's listening, I mean, he has chosen you for an important role, an important purpose for such a time as this. And it was only in just, it was actually, you know, here I was a mother, and I helped my dad write his books. And I would remind those, if you didn't hear it last week, my dad asked me to help him write his first book. That was the first bestseller, Tough Times Never Last, But Tough People Do. And I was balancing two little babies in my arms in 30 days notice. And we did. And it was number one in the for a year. Well, and then Be Happy Attitudes followed that. That was number one. Well, that meant that I was on the fast track call from the presidents of the two top Christian publishers at the time, Sam Moore, Thomas Nelson, and Ernie Owens at Word Publishing. I'd get calls from them. Sheila, we need a book. We need a book from your dad. Dad's, and they were always Dad's messages. I just put them together so that you could actually read. You know, you can't just have a few messages that people, someone's given. That has to be an actual manuscript that's publishable. And I always was able to make a deadline, so I was the one they called. And so I would get a deadline and a topic or a title, and I just did it for Dad. That became, and then later I was in education, and when I was working on my doctorate, the professors would give the same thing. They give me a writing assignment like the publishers. I'd get a topic and a deadline, and I would always meet it. The thing that that's interesting, and I don't know if your audience is aware of this or not, but you know, everybody's been assigned a paper, right? Everybody, those teachers love assigning papers. And I'll tell you, and do you know anything about the topic when you're given the assignment? Not necessarily. And I used to always think these people who wrote books, they knew all about it. And then they wrote the book. And I don't know that that's the way that works. And so, and I'm going to get to that in a little bit. Because it was June 13, 2022. So just not even 4 years ago. I was a pastor. I had my own little church. I'd had all these years in education as an administrator, had my doctorate in education. And I love schools and I love children. I had four sons of my own. They were all grown. I was now a grandma. And I was just like, oh, life couldn't be easier. I love to cook and bake and do my sourdough and play with my grandbabies, go to the park. And my church is small and just eat. And they're the easiest church to be a pastor for. They're just a blessing. And then the Lord spoke to me that morning, and it came so out of the blue. He said, Sheila, my bride, the church is not ready for my return. I need you to get her ready for my return. I want you to cover her. And I was filled with fear and trembling. And I thought, what? Not me. My dad's the one who had the big church. Mine is teeny tiny. And it's nothing like compares to dad's in terms of scope and reach. But he said, no, this is who I've, and I go back to, who does God choose, right? He chose a mom. He chose a grandma who thought that she was on, retirement. But I knew it was an assignment from the Lord. And then he said, I'm only half done with this word, Sheila, because I've tucked the church under your right wing, but you have two wings. And he said, I call it my chicken vision. And he said, because I put all the children of the world under your other wing. And I was like, wow. And I, again, filled with fear and trembling. It was one of the most impactful moments of my life, and it was truly life-changing. And then it was kind of like, just as an aside, he said, I want you to write a book. And here it's just, I want you to write a book. The title is The Heart of a Warrior, Delivering the Children of the World for Christ. And it needs to be disseminated in 3 months' time. And I was like, oh, okay. And I always laugh. It took me a long time to realize, oh, God gave me a writing assignment no different than the publishers did and my professors did. And I'm so used to a writing assignment, it was no big deal. But I was, except that I thought, I'm not sure I like that title. Are you sure? But okay. But it was so impactful because I went to my MacBook and I sat down and I prayed and I said, okay, Lord, what's going on with the children of the world? And that was almost 4 years ago. And he began to speak to me and he began to reveal to me in many different ways through newspaper, through headlines and other ways. And because I had a doctorate, I began to look at the statistics on everything, all the different attacks on the children of the world. And what was interesting was the statistics were uniform from country to country, which is so unusual. Usually, when we are in education, we would look up like statistics on reading, and we would look up what are they teaching it, how are they teaching, what are the stats on reading comprehension, say in the UK, and we would compare, we do comparative, we compare the stats from country to country, just so we can learn from each other. And usually there's a huge disparity, but this was not the case with the ones when the Lord said these are attacks against the children. The statistics were so close and so uniform. It really got my attention. But more than that, it was literally heartbreaking. And it was when I got to the one about suicide, the rate of suicide of children ages 13 and 14 tripling. That one just, I mean, I closed up the MacBook and had a good cry. And I said, Lord, okay. You got my attention for sure. But are you sure this is, and it was delivering. What does that mean? Are you talking about deliverance? I don't know anything about deliverance. You should have assigned this book to Benny Hinn. I don't know how many times I told him that while I was writing this book. And then I said, I used to have an international platform, but I didn't anymore. And I said, of the world. Are you kidding me? I kept wanting to take that out as I was writing the book. But I told the Lord, I said, but I give you permission to feel your heart. And people said, well, that's a really dangerous prayer to pray. And I said, well, it's not the first time I prayed it. I knew what I was doing, but I felt, how in the world can I be doing this for the Lord and not feel his heart for his children? And so what happened was that we wrote. So I have two ladies in my church. And as I wrote the book, the Lord really just, it was such, it's a good, good book, but he gets all the credit. chapter one is, are you a sitting duck or a mother hen? And too many of us are sitting ducks. Too many churches are sitting ducks. Too many parents and grandparents are sitting ducks. We're not covering our children, our churches, our pastors with prayer, protecting them with prayer. And so I realized that, you know, as I was writing this book, the Lord was teaching me and guiding me. And then, you know, the last chapter was, and I think I talked about this last week, if little faith can move mountains, what can limitless faith do? What can limitless faith do? And so I wrote the book. Then there's the end of it as a prayer guide. We took, again, all the statistics, and we wrote a prayer for each and every one of the attacks. And this really what it is the enemy has been attacking the children. You know, even, you know, we didn't grow up. Dad used to say, oh, the enemy is finite. You know, what's he going to do? He's going to come after me. I'm just his little pastor, you know. But that was in the early days. And then, you know, but there comes a time when, you know, the enemy did come after us very, very significantly. And that you can, everybody can find that out in news and all of that. But the Lord, what I learned by going through it was that God is faithful. My God is faithful.
Amen.
And it was my honor to get to walk with my parents when we lost the cathedral. And all of that. And so that was my role. I was actually the CEO and the president of the ministries, Crystal Cathedral Ministries International, lead pastor of the church when we had to file for bankruptcy. And I'll never forget the day that my staff came to me and they said, Sheila, we have this, and my dad was over 80 at the time. And they said, we have a press corps out there for a press conference. You need to go out and address them on the bankruptcy. And I had my face in the carpet going, no, no, no. And I even said, Lord, if it's possible, will you take this cup? And I didn't even get that. It's as far as I got. And he interrupted me and he said, Sheila, of all people, you know how expensive airtime is. He said, I've given you this golden opportunity to go out and give a word of hope. So many are going through such a hard, because it was right at the beginning of that terrible recession. And he said, go, he said, they'll under, if you, they hear it from you, that you have hope through all of this, how to get through it with my help and my strength. And he said, you can, he said, you can bring a message of hope to my children. I trust in you to go do that. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. Now I know what to do. So off I went. And that was it. And so, you know, that's, so I lived through all of that. I saw how faithful my God was. And then here I was, like I said, we wrote this book, we wrote these prayers for the children. But when I saw the attack of the enemy, and, you know, so like the first ones were, that the Lord showed me, were places that are supposed to be safe for children, schools and wombs, right?
Yeah.
And they were not. Babies weren't safe anymore in wombs, and children weren't safe anymore in schools.
That's
right. I know this is sober compared to maybe others, but at the same time, don't worry. this is all about victory, but it's a story of what God can do and is doing. And it's really true. I'm truly, really excited, because as we went through all, and then orphans and the hungry, and then it was, so we wrote them. There's like 14 or 15 different prayers, 14 or 15 different attacks. And my church, I thought it was just going to be me writing this book, but my church just said, oh, Sheila, we want to be part of this. We're your team. We want to be called the Pentagon. for the, you know, the Heart of a Warrior movement, delivering the children of the world for Christ. And so they all began to pray and pray and pray these prayers as the church became a prayer warrior headquarters. And it was really cool to see them grow, and they'd so fired up, and they were, and so the first, one of the first things the Lord said to me, he said, it was pub so we got it published on Amazon. I didn't want to go through a publisher. I'd already worked with publishers. I would want to do this one all by myself, and I did. And so, and God, of course. But it was, so that was in late September, early October. And then it was January 2023. The Lord said, Sheila, I want you to give a male and female sheep to a poor village in Africa. We've been praying for Hungary. We've been praying for the orphaned, right? We had a family in our church that was from Kenya. So I went to them and I said, Rose, can you contact your family back in Kenya and see if anybody needs some sheep? Because I had to obey God. You know, he'd sent me on this mission, and now I had to find who to buy them for. And I kept hearing, nope, nobody needs them. Nope, nobody needs one. And then I was divinely connected with Bill and Judy Henderson of Storm Shelter Ministries. And they have schools and orphanages and a church in Kenya. And so I said, Judy, do you by any chance need sheep? She said, Sheila, we've been praying for a sheep ministry.
Oh my,
Yeah,
God,
it's
man.
great.
And I love it because I'm going to use my hands. You know, it's like God told me to provide this. They're praying for sheep, and we're praying for the hungry and the orphans. They're praying for sheep, and God tells us, and see what that does. So we get to be the answer to the very prayers that we're praying. And that's just one example. When we've been praying for the babies in the wombs, and the prayers we wrote for were grace and mercy for those women who'd already made that horrible, you know, decision to make, but that God's grace covers even that, you know, if with repentance and saying, I'm sorry. But and then those who longed to have a baby but couldn't have a baby. And so we were praying for all of that. And now today we are now partnering with 14 ministries, 15 ministries that are being answers to the prayers. And when I say partnering, we're not just sending checks. We do that as well as a church. We tithe. Whatever our entire revenue is for the year, we give a 10% of that, and most of it goes to these ministries. And so like we do Love Life, we partner with Love Life. We go and we stand outside the abortion clinics every other month. We do our church. We actually go and stand there, and we just pray. And we pray that the babies will be saved. We partner with places that provide care for crisis pregnancy centers. I'm good friends with a lot of these ministry leaders, and I cover them and partner with them. And so I partnered with when Jenny Donnelly, her Voice Movement, that was the Million Woman March to DC. I've been Jenny's intercessor and part of that whole team. And when she did May Day events all last spring, she did five of them. I was her lead intercessor, and then I actually my team and I went and we took a stand on Hollywood Boulevard the week before the gay parade was supposed to happen there, and we brought the good news of Jesus Christ to Hollywood Boulevard. And so I mean, this is what we've gotten to do. It's just been, I can't even tell you how exciting it is to see. Because it shows me that God is moving. He hears the prayers, but when we get to be a part of answering them, it's just, there's nothing more. I mean, I'm having the time of my life. And I'm just like, oh yeah, God can use me too. And he can use any of us. He can use any of us. So that's that one. And then remember I kept wanting to take Of the World out. because I didn't have a platform anymore. Well, then Bill and Judy Henderson, they said, "Why don't you come to Kenya?" And I said, "Oh, I didn't say it's them." I said, thinking, "That's a long flight." The last thing I wanted to do was go to Africa, to be honest with you. And then it was just 2 days later, I walked, was woke up in the morning and I walked, stepped from our wood floor into the carpet of the threshold. You know, God does that kind of stuff, so you don't forget. And he said, "I want you to go to Africa, Sheila." And I thought, "Oh, you do? Okay." And then I wanted to go. It was just as soon as he said it, my heart just flipped completely, a whole 180 degrees. And I thought, "Oh, I got to call them right away. I hope I didn't miss my opportunity to go." So we went. We did the 26-hour flight, and I couldn't pick better people to go with. Judy and I, we were flying. It was 6 months after we bought the first sheep. And I said, "Judy, do you think there's lambs yet?" She said, "Should be." So then, you know, she gets a text, "Sheila, we've got a lamb." Oh, I couldn't wait to land to see the lamb, right?
Sweet.
And we get there and we land after 26 hours. I said that at least once because it's certainly a big obstacle for me. But then it was 5 a.m. and all these children were there greeting us, singing at the you know, these beautiful children. And I'm thinking, oh, they're going to take me back to our Airbnb and I get to lie down and I get to brush my teeth and get to, you know, and just freshen up. No, they took us straight to the school and it was in Kawangware, which is the world's second largest slum.
Oh, boy.
Now, I'm a person who loves schools. I mean, I love schools. I walk on any school campus, and my heart begins to beat fast. And I was looking for the school, looking for the school, but it was a slum. And I didn't, and they said, "Here we are." And I thought, "There's no school here. I don't see a school." And we got out, and then I heard it way back behind the corrugated, barely standing up tin, right, shacks. I heard these children's voices rising up above and the sound of them singing to Jesus. And it was a portal to heaven, right? It was just like heavenly, heavenly, heavenly. We walked back there and all these beautiful, beautiful, beautiful children. And I sat, I get thinking about it. And I said, "God, thank you for asking me to write the book.
Amen.
Thank you, because I would have missed out on this blessing." And he said to me, he goes, "Sheila, do you remember how I kept wanting to take of the world out of the title?" It was a year ago. "Today I asked you to write that book." And then he said, "Daughter, don't ever put limitations on me ever again."
That's
Yes,
right.
sir. And then we went out to the village, took a little prop plane way out to Metisi, and we stood in this village, and these four women who I personally bought them for them, but I brought a bunch of Kenyan shillings from my church with me. And these women with these sheep, and they greeted me one after another. They said, "Thank you, Mom. I can now feed my children. Do you know how much it costs per sheep? $50." That's it. You know, and that was 3 years ago now, right? And do you know how many sheep there are? And one of the women has bought a cow. And, you know, I mean, God has such good ideas.
That's right.
And I just had the time of my life with that one. And that just really set me on a trajectory of changing my life. So then, now we're gonna, then COVID hit, right? Well, when COVID hit, There was, well, actually, COVID hit before that. Sorry about that, because it was 2020. But during COVID, because I gave your audience a teaser, and that's I'm going to get to that. My son and daughter, my oldest son and his wife, they're both attorneys. And so they're very, very busy. And they had this grandson of mine who I always called him a heartful, not a handful, because dad always said, only use positive words. So I always called him my heartful JJ. And so they decided they were one and done. They gave everything away. And then they said it was January of 2020. We didn't know because everybody was isolated. Does anybody remember those days when you would drive by and you'd wave and you'd, you know, they're oh, crazy days. But so we had no idea that my son and daughter-in-law had had a change of heart because my grandson had started to pray for a sibling. So mom and dad said, well, maybe we should try for one more. Now, this is not a very enthusiastic attempt at trying to have a baby. And so I say that to say, they weren't even sure they wanted a second child. And then my daughter-in-law, we had no idea this was going on. She was with her mask, she went in to see the doctor, and the doctor said, you are pregnant, Mrs. Coleman. We'll see you next month. She goes, well, that was easy. That was fast. And so the next month she went. The doctor said, oh, there's two there. And he said, come back next month.
I'm surprised.
So apparently, we never knew any about this. They're out there going, twins, twins, twins. What are we going to do? So at her next appointment, she went in, and then the doc, the ultrasound gal went and said, I've got to get the doctor. So the doctor came out. My daughter-in-law, being an attorney, she thought the worst, right? And the doctor said, I'm really sorry, Mrs. Coleman. One was hiding behind the other. There's triplets.
No.
Come back next month. My daughter-in-law said, no, every time I come back, you add another baby.
Oh, my.
That's wild.
And so then they called us. Was this the day after Easter? They FaceTimed us because it was still COVID, and they said, we're expecting triplets. And of course, I thought, oh, yeah, right, no way. But yeah, my daughter-in-law, they're called spontaneous, which means they're truly one in a million. And so, but the boys, there's two identical twin boys who are like two little tiggers, and they're the most active, crazy, out of control. And there's two of them. And so they get each other going, and it's really,
What
and
is
then,
heartful? I think you said heartful.
Heartful, overflowing, abundant, pressed down, shaken together. And then they're identical, and they are identical. And then there's little Tinsley Grace, who is their sister, and they couldn't look more different. But so we agreed to be in their double bubble. So we basically had to help raise these triplets. And so that changed our life considerably. We now have a total of 9, 10 grandchildren, but we still spend a lot of time with them. And it was so while we were in the midst of this triplet nest, because one of the attacks that the enemy has had on the children, one of his biggest is the identity.
First.
And right?
Yeah.
And the identity of the children. And the Lord just impressed upon me how important it is to be releasing blessings over these children. And like Dad said, make sure that all our words are positive, but taking the blessings that the Lord has written in His Word and releasing them over the children. And because, and so I set about, because I was with them all the time, still am. In fact, I'm not with them last Monday or tonight. And so I do say, you know, will you guys please forgive me? And they'll be like, Grandma, are you coming back? Yeah, for sure. But because they're five now, and they, and I just have to give God all the credit and all the glory. The doctors wanted my daughter-in-law to choose which ones to keep and which ones not to keep because the boys were shared a placenta. And so they were at risk, high risk for twin transfusion, I think it's called. And I'm looking at the doctor to see if I'm doing okay.
And how
And
between each other.
so it's but they she my daughter-in-law carried them to 35 weeks, which is really a long time for triplets. And she walked herself in from her law office on her heels and wheeling her little overnight bag behind her and said, I'm here to check in for my cesarean for my triplets. And they all were like, what? And they had, so they averaged 5 pounds each.
Wow, great. Good.
15 pounds of baby. So
Wow.
God is good and they're all perfect. They didn't stay, they were in, we called baby NICU for maybe a week. And so they've just been a delight, and God, it's they're miracles. They're just miracles. And so
Amen.
I would say to them, I'd say, okay, repeat after Grandma. I am. And they go, I am. A one in a million, a one in a million miracle, miracle. Yes, you are. You're a one in a million miracle. And then I would say to them, repeat after Grandma, I am the beloved child of the Most High God, of the Most High God. Yes, you are. And see that, I think that's so important for us to teach the children who they are. And if we can teach, and so what I've taught my grandchildren through the Holy Spirit's prompting, they now are decreeing and declaring their true identity. Because now when I ask them, I'll say, who are you? I am the beloved child of the Most High God. Yes, you are. And that's how we got to Tinsley. That one day I said to her, now repeat after me, Tinsley. I'm blessed and highly favored. Tinsley said, I'm blessed and highly. Does anybody remember what she said?
Flavored.
Flavored. Flavored.
Yes, she is.
And so I said to her, do you know what favor means? And she said, no, what? And I said, well, what flavor do you think? What's your favorite flavor, Tinsley? She says, chocolate. I said, what do you think God's favorite flavor is? And she said, well, chocolate. And I said, well, maybe, but what if all the flavors are God's favorite because He made them all? Oh. And I said, do you think any of His children are His favorite? Maybe He made them all. Yeah, then they're all His favorite. So that became my little book, Claiming the Identity of Christ's Children, and teaching them how to, and giving, it's a handbook for families so that to teach them how they can release these blessings over their children and to speak God's blessing over them, you know, like surely to saying to them when you're dropping them off for school, surely goodness and mercy will follow you today and every day. You know, all of those beautiful, amazing blessings to be speaking them into their life and claiming them for them. And so that's how that happened. And then the Living Tree, I told the story last week about how my father and my grandfather cut down the tree, and I won't tell it again. But they found out it was not a dead tree like they thought, but a living tree. So that was an inspiration to write a children's book story about the crucifixion and resurrection for children through the perspective of a garden. And so the garden, It starts out like it was winter and the garden slept. But in springtime, the garden awoke like it always does, so all of it. And then when they heard that there was death in the garden because the tree gets cut down, the garden wept. They didn't know what their place of life, they don't know what to do with death. So, anyway, I had this, my sister-in-law, she's a wonderful artist, and she did all the artwork because I can't draw stick figures. But that was for the children. It's all about the children, right? And then, last but not least, it was October 7. Well, you all know what happened on October 7, and when Hamas invaded Israel. And but what horrified me as much as all of that was when, as an educator, as having earned my doctorate in education, and all of my time that I devoted and energy to teaching children, I saw being played out in our college and universities this anti-Semitism, the hateful words that were being, and it wasn't just hateful words that was being thrown, the things that were being played out in the street still is today. Amen.
Yes, everywhere.
So I thought, how in the, and I said, so I cried out to God and I said, Lord, where did we go wrong as educators?
Right. Sheila, I want you to keep that thought if you would. What a wonderful thing for children to hear all those wonderful things, feel them and know them compared to what most kids are seeing, feeling and hearing and missing today. We need to take just a break here for a
Yeah,
second. Boy,
sure.
so interesting. So interesting. And Stephanie, could if you could share a word later in a moment after you're done, Sheila, I'm gonna ask Tank to say a prayer. If he has a doctor, I could see his head shaking. I know he's got so many things to his scene and really relating to what you're saying also. So when we do close, I ask Tank if he would close in just a few minutes. Stephanie, could you share a word just with our people? It's so much better when you do it.
Listen. I don't know how the Lord put us on this radio show, but we're with these amazing retired pastors. And as we see the legacy of Dr. Sheila and just
Yes.
have gone before us. And so it's an honor to do this because they have done it for years. So we encourage you to go to bbsradio.com/raising expectations. That is where you can kind of, it's like the hub space. You can find all that you need to know about the show. We have ways that you can donate. We have snail mail. We have fancy PayPal and Venmo. You can do a QR code. You can reach out to Pastor Joe directly. Any contribution is helpful. It costs money to be on the show. We are very lean and mean with our budget. We are mindful of how we use that money. As well, you can see here there are past shows. You can search if you want to listen to a certain guest. The Lord has blessed us with who comes on this show. Honestly, just amazing. You can connect with us each individually on different social media platforms. You can see Dr. Joe's, Pastor Joe's book, my husband's book. And we just welcome you to go there. And we just thank you as well. You can share the show. You can give a like. You can repost when you see us published. All of those things also help the show. In the era of social media, it's very helpful to just like, make a comment. All of those things help us get more reach. And that really is the goal, to bring people together to know what the Lord has for them. Sheila, I wanted to share something with you too. That October 7th day, I was very troubled that night and I could not sleep. And there were a lot of people that have reached out to me about prayer. And actually, I'm really serious. I've developed a serious prayer life. I'm not a natural journaler, but if you call me and you say prayer, I probably will send you a voice text praying for you immediately, and then I write it down. And what I did not know is that at sunset that night, it was actually, I'll say it wrong, but Simchat Torah. So it was a Jewish holiday in the biblical calendar where they celebrate the reading of the Torah. And so isn't that how it always works? The enemy comes to attack on these special days. When the entire community was celebrating Shabbat, Sabbath, in a state of rest and presence with the Lord, right? And so Nothing is new under the sun to the Lord. He already knows. We just have to be in the Word and praying and worshiping with the Lord. And He makes it so abundantly clear. And we miss the signals so often of what He's trying to say to us, right?
Amen. Yeah. Need to be awake.
Yeah.
Awake, aware, and at war with the supernatural, as it says half the time as we look at what's ahead. Thank you, Stephanie, for sharing that. Anything else there?
That
No, okay, that was good. Okay. Sheila, can you take just a word in? And we've got 2 minutes if you could do that. Thanks.
Well, it's just been a joy to be able to share what the Lord is doing and to be able to let the to raise awareness of what the enemy's been up to, but even more what the Lord is doing.
Amen.
And so yeah, so we just need to, so that's why the book Unearthing the Lost Treasure Wisdom is we need to be teaching God's wisdom. That's what that book is about. But so I'm just really excited about and grateful to be able to carry on a legacy. And I want to encourage everybody out there, God needs you.
Amen.
And He's chosen you, and for such a time as this, because these are days when you are needed probably more than ever.
Amen. Exactly right. All right. Well, thank you, Sheila. We're sure going to try to have you come back again with us. We'll write a letter to your grandkids. See if they'll let that work out for you. So that would be great. We appreciate you. We've grown to love and appreciate you and your ministry. And you'll be in our prayers, like Steph said. I guarantee you, Steph's a prayer
Please.
warrior. It's awesome. And so is my wife. You double coverage here for you. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. I'm looking, clock always goes by too fast, on our show. But we'll all be praying for you and what's coming, and we'll be in contact. And what a blessing. And you let us know how we can pray. Just write us, call us, and Melba and Steph, all of us, so that we can be praying for you specifically on things that are coming up. That would be great. And ladies and gentlemen, same for you folks. If you'll just go ahead and send those notes in, text us, email us, go on the site. We'll follow up and get back to you also. And we'll be praying for you, just like Paul. Paul's good to see you, brother. I know Paul is another prayer warrior. It's awesome. So maybe you could pray for in a special to close us out.
Dear God, thank you for Sheila. Thank you for being a warrior for the children.
Yes.
We need to be the light and example and to show that they are flavored.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
They are the upcoming world. They need to see our example of your light, God, that there is a path to heaven, to be with you, that there's a morality that we need to live by and love people by, even as hard as loving the enemy. God, let us be that light to train, to be the teachers for our youth, including college students, to just be that example that they can see and tangibly want to act like and see how the joy we have in doing that for you, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Tank. Thank you, Sheila. Ladies and gentlemen, remember, greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. So, like Sheila was saying, just let Him out. Strap in, hang on, and watch what He's going to do through you, for Him, to everyone. Thanks for tuning in
Amen.
tonight. God bless you all. See you next
Thank
week.
you.
Bye, Sheila.
Thank you, Sheila.
Thank you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.